From the text that we heard just a few moments ago, one of the things that we gather about Joseph is that he was a man of character. We know that because of how he comported himself and the things that he demonstrated and how he acted in relation to his master's wife. Remember, he was in a foreign country, had been sold by his brothers, had been hated by his brothers for years, sold by his brothers, and now he was alone. He'd been taught by his father, and certainly by his parents and others that were the adults in the household, I'm sure. But he was alone now. No one was there to say, hey, that's bad for you to do, or you ought not be doing that. He stood on his own based on what he had been taught, what he knew about God and God's law and requirements for them. And he stood firm in that, even in the face of great temptation. Young man tempted by an older woman could be easy to fall into. Yet he stood. He said, I can't do this. I will not sin against my master or against God. In particular, he mentioned sinning against God in regards to this. And he didn't. Even when she went so far as to try to pull him into doing what she wanted to do, he still stood by his principles. That's a man of character. We want to talk about building character this morning. We take for granted sometimes what character is and how we build it and how we maintain it, but it is something that we must constantly be working on. We must constantly be considering and thinking about and guiding ourselves to keep our character right and pure. And in fact, the character of a Christian is really above the idea, the common idea of the world about character. The character that we see shown in Joseph in this particular image is above the kind of character that's expected of men and women in the world in general today, because we have a higher calling. We are to love our enemies and pray for those that persecute us, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, as well as the text in John 3 and 16 teaches the same idea. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Our character should be such that it imitates the character of Christ. It should be something that causes us not just to run from temptation, but to remain faithful to God, even though it may cost us our life, from what we've read and studied in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 to the church in Ephesus. We need to stand firm. Jesus is the model of our character. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 we read, for you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And later in chapter 3 and verse 16, Peter talks about those who would revile your good behavior in Christ being put to shame because they remained faithful and true to God. They imitated Christ. As you can see on the screen here, when we're talking about character, what we're talking about is that inner strength, that which defines a person, not just what he does, but what he is. And like in the illustration of Joseph there in Genesis chapter 39, oftentimes the best place to see character is in how someone reacts when no one else is watching. You know, we talk about character, some of the minor things we might use. For example, do you break the speed limit when you're in a little bit of a hurry and there's nobody else in the car? Or do you hold steady to what the law has limited you to? I mean, we don't think much about that. We don't think a lot about that. We talk about speeding as one of those sins we sometimes ignore, don't pay much attention to. It is violating the law and therefore violating God's law. But how we react to those laws when we're alone, how we react to those situations when we're alone is an illustration of our character. Who we are when there's no one else watching us can help us to see what kind of character we actually have. It is while he was alone that we see Joseph standing up for that which he knew was right. We need to understand that character has to do with the heart of a man and a woman. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. There are many folks that we will come in contact with as we go about our life who will say one thing and do another. Their heart is somewhere else, even though they may be promoting this particular one thing. And we need to make sure that that is not the case with us. Our heart needs to be focused on God, and we need to remain focused on that. But we understand that it is from the inner man that our outer actions come forth. In Matthew 12, verse 34 and 35, "For the mouth speaks of that out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure that which is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure that which is evil." If we have the kind of character that we ought to have, if we are defined as Christ-like, it's going to be because our hearts are Christ-like. If you would get your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we want to consider the first 12 verses of that chapter to emphasize this idea of that which defines a person. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." What these verses here emphasize to us, and certainly we studied these wisdom sayings when we studied the book of Proverbs, but what these two verses emphasize to us, that it begins with obedience to God. In fact, the defining quality of character is obedience to God. The first thing we do is keep the Word of God dear within us in our heart. And we were talking about Joseph a moment ago. We may mention the fact that he remembered the things that he had been taught about God and God's will, even when he was alone. Another example would be Daniel. We could have turned over to Daniel chapter 1 and read the story of Daniel, how he would not defile himself with the foods of the king and of the nation around, because they were unclean. They weren't according to the things that he had been taught. And even though he was a young man and away from his family in captivity, he still stood firm in what he'd been taught. Character begins with knowing the will of God and submitting ourselves to it, keeping it in our heart. We continue in Proverbs chapter 3. "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of man and God." Here's another part of that character that we need to develop, of kindness and truth. Looking out for the well-being of others is one of the things that we have a responsibility to do as Christians. That's what the teaching of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is pretty much all about, is care for one another. Have your love be that love which causes you to give in order to help others. That's part of the things that we find in many of Paul's letters. We have a responsibility to be kind and generous and to helpful to others. These things will lead to good repute and good favor with God and with man. Kindness and truth need to be dear to us. Continuing in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." Here again is that idea of turning back to the Word of God, keeping our hearts focused on God and remaining faithful to Him. That idea of trust in the Lord, not just knowing His Word, But putting our trust in His Word, depending upon it for the guidance that we need, no matter what situation we're in. He says, trust in the Lord in all your ways. Whether we're talking about dealing with our family, with our brethren, on the job, at the Walmart, on the internet, in worship service, we put our trust in the Lord. We follow His ways. You know, when we think about it, we do that when we come together to worship. We're real particular about emphasizing that we worship God in the manner that He's laid down. We don't have instrumental music in our praise because singing is what God requires. We spend a lot of time talking to other people about why we don't have instrumental music and emphasizing that. We're very careful that when we observe the Lord's Supper, we use the particular elements that Christ instituted for that supper. Are we as particular with putting our trust in God and God's way when we go to work, when we go to school, when we're sitting in our homes, when we're walking around our neighborhood? The writer of Proverbs says, remember, he's the one who wrote the wisdom literature. In fact, that's what this is known as, wisdom literature. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. Depend upon Him for everything. This will lead to benefit, to profit, to increase for yourself. Straight paths, healing to your bones. Continuing in verse 9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Give the honor and praise to God that He deserves. Now, here from the language used, certainly we make the connection to giving of our means. But I think maybe if we look at this in conjunction with what we've been studying in Acts chapter 4 and 5 about the church and the brethren who were there in Jerusalem taking of what they had to give to those that were in need, we can see that it's an attitude of, I want to see to it that God knows that I recognize I am simply a steward of whatever He has given me. I think it would apply just as much to our talents as it does to our monies. Honor God. Give back to Him from that which He has given you. And He will pour out blessings upon you. In fact, the language entered here in these two verses indicates that if you give back to God what belongs to Him, He's going to give you more than you need. You're going to be filled and overflowing. In fact, this is one of the places that is referenced by those that teach the prosperity gospel. The more you give to God, the more God's going to give back to you. I don't think we need to carry it that far, but the point being made here, when we give back to God, He will bless us. He will give us benefit. And that's a part of this idea of building and developing character. It all comes and begins with knowing His Word and then putting our trust in His Word and conducting ourselves in the manner that He has laid down. Guiding ourselves by the example that He left us in Christ Himself as He walked upon the face of the earth. And returning back to God. There's one more thing. In verse 11 and 12, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Notice, it's not all the positive stuff. You have to accept the rebuke as well. You have to respect the discipline. It's not just doing the right things, but it's being willing to accept the consequences of having turned and done the wrong things. Understanding that is just and right for you. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about this character. That which defines us. What kind of person are we? Inside. As we go about our everyday life. We need to recognize that as Christians, when we obeyed the gospel, we set about making a change to our character. Maybe we don't often think about that, especially those of us who grew up in the church. We don't think about the fact that when we obey the gospel, we set about changing our character, becoming different from who we had been. But it should be something that we recognize and understand readily because, as we mentioned there from the book of Proverbs, the first thing, the basic thing about character is, as the Scripture talks about it, is knowing and submitting to the will of God, being obedient to Him. And when we are converted, we need to recognize that we begin changing our character. First off, we have a new relationship to sin. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Here we go, so going through your Bible and you have to say two or three of the books to figure out which one's next. Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians, Philippians and Colossians. I have to say in order to get them in right sometimes. Look at Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them, you also once walked when you were living in them. Notice what Paul says here. You have to turn away from these sort of things. But now, you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. What Paul says is, brethren, there in Colossae, when you obeyed the gospel, you changed your relationship to the things of this world, in particular to sin. All of those things that he made mention of there are works of the flesh. They are sinful acts. While they may not have made any difference to us when we were walking in the world, we may not have thought twice about some of those things. When we became Christian, we changed that relationship. And therefore, it should have brought about at least the beginning of a change in our character. Rather than just going through life doing whatever we wanted or taking care of business as it came along, maybe we were still trying to be nice to folks, but it wasn't something that we really concerned ourselves about. Passions and evil desires and greed, those things are pretty common in the world. Or the things that he mentions down there beginning in verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. These things didn't matter to us when we were in the world. And I think that even those of us who grew up in the church recognize that there was a change in our attitude toward those things, at least to some degree, when we obeyed the gospel. While our parents were probably pretty strict on us about dealing with those things because of their beliefs and their teaching us and us growing up and hearing those things, when we actually made that step to change ourselves into a child of God, We made a decision that all of those things are behind me now. I want nothing to do with them. And that's why Paul uses the phrase buried, put to death. And now you have a new life. We change our relationship to sin. In Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. We put to death all the things that we were of the old man. We've changed our relation to sin, and in doing so, we change our character. That's a part of our being converted to Christ. Without that change, our character is never going to come up to the level that God would have it to be. It's also a new heart. Continuing there in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12 this time. But those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you forgive. Beyond all those things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Notice what the Apostle Paul does here in the earlier verses we read. He said, you've put all these things behind you. You put this to death. You've changed your relationship to sin by burying it with Christ. But it doesn't stop there. You've also developed a new heart. And it's not talking about we've got a new blood pump. It's talking about a new reasoning, a new compassion, a new care. Notice all the things that he talks about there. They are the kind of attitudes that we see expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he talks about charitable love. They're the kind of things that we see in the book of Acts when we see the brethren caring for and giving concern over various ones, whether we're talking about the early part of the church where they were helping one another, both in understanding the word and in taking care of the daily needs, or we're talking about the latter part where they were helping various ones go around and spread the gospel and supporting them in that. Or the things that we read in the books, the epistles of John in particular, about how they were helping the brethren as they went from place to place. Why? Because they had a new care and concern for their brethren, but also that care and concern was expressed toward those outside the world as well, outside the church as well, toward those in the world. That's why we have phrases such as love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. That's why we have the phrase in the book of Romans, as much as within you is, be at peace with all men. Why? Our character has changed because we've gotten rid of the old and now we develop a new heart, a new attitude of concern and care. And if that attitude does not develop, if that change doesn't take place completely, we're going to have some issues and some problems. We may be like Peter, Galatians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul makes reference to Peter separating himself from the Gentiles when the Jews from Jerusalem came up. Why? Because is it just old habits die hard? Or could it be that even though the Apostle Peter saw that vision from the Lord and was emphasized that the Gentiles were accepted by God, he still held to some of those old ideas of separation? Certainly, he pulled himself away from the Gentiles like he would have done when he was living as a Jew. Why? Maybe there was some lack of character there because of a failure of the heart to be completely changed and adjusted. I don't want to take anything away from Peter. He was a powerful speaker and teacher of the Word of God. But as Paul points out here, he had his problems. If we want to attain the kind of character that God expects of us, the character that is illustrated by Jesus Christ, we've got to have a new heart. A heart that is caring and concerned, a heart that is focused on the benefit of others as much or more as the benefit of ourselves. and would cause us to go out and talk to those who are less fortunate about the Word of God. Proclaim the gospel. No matter who we come in contact with, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we stand firm for the truth of God and seek to help others come to know the blessing that is being a child of God. Our heart must change to be in agreement with this new relationship to sin that we've got in our lives. It's been established through our conversion to Christ. And I guess it should be obvious that we have to accept that there is a new message for us. Look at verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And we turn to this passage most often when we're dealing with instrumental music or dealing with our song service and praising God and such. But I want us to recognize how this verse starts off. This verse isn't just all about the command we have to sing, how we worship God in song, and what kind of songs we sing. This verse is all about being filled with the Word of God. In fact, when you look at the language there, what Paul says is you need to have the Word of God so deep within you and filling you up so much that it can't stay there. It has to be expressed. You express it in spiritual ways. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. We have to take a new message into our hearts and make it our part, a part of who we are. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate or complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God is there to guide us in all things, and we need to make it a part of who we are. If we want to develop the character that God would have us to be, as we looked over at Proverbs just a moment ago, it's got to start with God's Word. And it's got to include our complete trust and faith in God and His Word, such that it is His Word that takes over our life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Note that. The divine power of God through Jesus Christ has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. The Word of God needs to guide us in all we do. We need to recognize that in order to develop this character that God expects of us, we need to accept a new message. And of course, along with that is the idea that we need to give in to a new authority. The guiding principle that shapes and molds our character needs to be the Word of God. Verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. He is the controlling factor in our life. That's how we begin to develop character. The kind of character that God expects of us. Character is also built by going about our lives. Our character needs to be changed when we are converted to Christ by turning to these new things. But we continue to build and develop character throughout our life. It is built through difficult circumstances. Hebrews chapter 12 talks of Moses. Or Hebrews chapter 11 talks of Moses, I should say. In other places he's mentioned as well. But in Hebrews chapter 12, we're instructed that we need to resist. Because resisting builds character. You've not yet resisted the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful, that those who have been trained by it afterward, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Our character is developed by the difficulties that we face. And it sometimes begins with the discipline that we receive. That's developing our character. You know, it took me having kids and having to punish one of them to really understand what Dad used to tell me. I'm doing this for your good. I didn't feel like my good. But, you know, as I started looking at my own children and trying to guide them and lead them, I recognized he was right. That discipline was not just because I didn't do what he told me the way he told me to do it. It was to help me learn, to help me to grow, to learn right and wrong, and help develop my character. A little aside, I'm convinced that's why we got so many young men and women without character today. They weren't disciplined being when they were growing up. Difficult circumstances develops our character. And it shows the kind of character that we have as well. We talked about Joseph. We talked about Daniel. Made mention of Moses, who stood firm for his teaching from his mother when he decided to follow after God instead of going after the riches of Egypt. I guess one of the places, one of the others that stands out as an illustration of the kind of character is the story of Abraham. In particular, Abraham, in relation to his promised son. As we read in Genesis chapter 22, God told Abraham to go and offer his son as a sacrifice. You know, when you read there in Genesis chapter 22, and we read God said, Abraham, you go sacrifice your son and give him to me on the altar. Abraham never even paused. He didn't come back and say, well, God, that just doesn't seem like it makes any sense. He didn't go inside his tent and walk around and ponder and wonder and try to consider and think about it. No, what we have in that story is when God told Abraham to go sacrifice his son, Abraham gathered his son up and all the things he needed to do the sacrifice and went to where God told him to go. Even as we continue in that story, and Isaac himself looks at Abraham and says, Father, we got all the wood, we got the fire, where's the sacrifice? Abraham didn't falter. He said, God will provide. His character developed because of the difficulties that he had endured, and this is one of the places where his strength of character really stands out in a difficulty. And I'm convinced this is a part of what makes Abraham the man that he was. That's why he was able to be the father of Israel. Because he was one that no matter what God said, that's what he was going to do, even when it didn't seem like a good idea. For he understood that God had given him the son to begin with, and God could raise him back from the dead, we read in pages of Scripture. And when he did what God told him to do, he reaped the reward. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, even though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice what Peter said. Bearing up through these trials and proving your faith, having godly character, will lead to praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Difficulties develop our character. Along the same line, temptations develop our character. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, so that you may be able to endure it. Temptations help us to grow and to increase. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren that are in the world. Temptation comes upon us on a daily basis. How we deal with that temptation either builds or destroys our character. Once again, we go back to the image of Joseph in the house of Potiphar, the urging of his master's wife, and he did not give in. And he stands as an example of character, godly character, as a result. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if God doesn't, we still won't bow down because we put our trust in God. They build us up, they strengthen us, and we gain valuable lessons. In James chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, he gives the greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We're not engaged in sin when we're tempted. We're sinners when we give in to the temptation and engage in that activity. The temptation itself is a fiery trial that helps to purify and strengthen us, develop the godly character. We also need to understand that character is developed even in times of success. More often than not, when we think about developing character, we think about bad things happening, and we grow and increase because of that. But character is also developed in success, or it's torn down in success. Hezekiah may not be one of the guys we look to for some really great examples. But there's a couple of things that are said about him. One, when he was told that his life was about over, he turned to God because of his trust and his hope in God. And he talked to God about what he had done. And God gave him more time. But then we look, after he was successful in that, he gave in a little bit to his pride. When folks came looking at his kingdom, he went and talked about all that was going on. But we also read in those passages, in particular, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 24 through 26, in those days he became mortally ill. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit received because his heart was proud. Therefore the wrath came on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. We talked about that. But look, however, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come on them in the days of Hezekiah. He saved himself in Jerusalem during his days because he did, after being rebuked again, learn a little bit, even in his success. Character was developed. Now, the other side of that, we see character being destroyed, or at least not godly character being illustrated when we look at the parable and story of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. When he saw success, rather than using the trust and hope in the Lord and the love that had been developed in a new heart, which is what we ought to be doing, this man looked and said, look, I got all kinds of great things and now I can take care of myself and I don't need God anymore. Success has a part in it. Developing our character for the plus or the minus. And we need to be careful in regards to such things. Character is that which is going to allow us to stand firm in the times of trouble. Sometimes we talk about how the world is getting worse. In fact, we made mention that that's one of the things that we've heard in sermons probably all of us, all our lives. It's just getting worse and worse. I've never seen it this bad before. And then next year we hear another lesson, I've never seen it this bad before, and that's because it's gotten worse than it was the year before. But it's character that's going to allow us to stand firm. Because our character is based on knowledge and understanding and making the Word of God a part of who we are. Character's foundation is on knowing the Word, putting our trust and our hope in Him, developing that new heart, listening to that new message, being careful as we go through the various trials and tribulations, successes and failures, that we allow it to cause us to grow in our godliness so that our character increases. And let endurance, James tells us, have its perfect results so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That continual bearing up under trial and tribulation and success by remaining faithful to God leads to the ultimate reward. We need to put our hope in the Lord. We need to set our minds upon His Word and the things that He has given us, and we need to use that to develop our character and to grow and to increase in our knowledge and understanding of that Word so that we're able to stand firm in face of whatever difficulties and trials may come upon us in this life. Most of us will probably never be faced with a situation that Joseph found themselves in. For one thing, they're already big enough and old enough, the brothers are going to throw some well and sell it very easily. We'll never be faced with that kind of a temptation. We might be faced with some temptation like Peter had when the Jews from Jerusalem came and he fell back into his old ways. We might be faced with the temptation to do that, to fall back into our old ways, even though we've been living a life serving the Lord and being kind and gentle and loving to others. And we find ourselves in a situation and we fall aside. That would be an illustration of a failure in our character. The only thing we can do about that is to continue to fill our hearts with the Word of God and submit ourselves to the Word of God and let His Word be the guiding factor in all aspects of our life, each and every day, turning to Him for the guide, seeking answers from His Word. There's all kinds of answers out there. The only answers that are going to lead us to life in heaven and this life in heaven are found in the pages of Scripture, and we need to be devoted to that. And we as Christians, even those of us who have been Christians for decades, we need to be just as careful about developing and keeping our character as one who is in the Lord. If you look this morning and find that you're straight and serving the Lord, devote yourself to Him and say, I'll follow you. But you follow back. Allow the Lord to take over and you slack up and not remain steadfast and unmovable. Where did you correct that? Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. His promise that we'll confess our sins, having turned from them, He will wipe them away as if they never been. What you've done, your shame and reproach and public matter, and you should be corrected from it. Whatever your condition, if you recognize this morning there's a need for you to receive the prayers and the help of the brethren here so that you can be right in the sight of God, I urge you to come and let your desire be known and understand yourself.